Good morning, church family. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Acts, and I'm excited to dig in scripture with you this morning. And today we're going to be looking at a church that follows God. For many of you in the room, you know, 23 to 25 years old, you're going to remember when the car GPSs, Garmin and Magellan GPSs first came out. Y'all remember these? It should be pictured on the screen. Y'all remember way back when we still had these? Some of you are like, well, I still have mine. Well, that's fine. but I remember so vividly when these came out because it's so revolutionary because, you know, not only did it point you in the direction to go, but it actually talked to you and spoke to you and tell you where to go, turn right or turn left or in 1 mile. It was really, really revolutionary. And for those of you that are younger than that, who have no idea what these are, well, let me clue you in on something else. That before these, we had an ancient method of navigation called a map. These were paper, folded, and oftentimes faded and kept in a glove box year-round. And so you pull it out when you need it. But I remember when our family got one of these, we were, this one specific day, we're going on vacation. Our family, we're packed in my mom's car, and we've got sand buckets and suitcases and all kind of stuff. We're just crammed in there, just window to window, you know, as families do when you go on vacation. You take way more than you think you need. So we're on the way, and I remember we had a GPS, and I thought it was just so awesome that we're getting to just drive to the beach and we have this GPS that's telling us where to go every time we need to make a turn. Well, we get to like somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. And I'm going to say this, and my dad is in this story and he's right here, just so you know. It's fine. But we're in somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, and GPS tells us to go one way and my dad keeps trucking. And we're all like, Dad, what are you doing? My mom's like, Tony, GPS said to turn this way. And it's like, I know a shortcut. Well, the short version of the story is the shortcut turned into a long cut and it wasn't any faster. And so I'm sitting here thinking like, Dad, don't you think that the engineers who put this GPS together have taken into account your shortcut and know that it's not shorter? And so you just follow the way. And so many times, you know, that's just like such a man thing. And I don't understand. And listen, I'm a guy, so I'm throwing myself under the bus. But there's something about being a guy and a dad and a husband. It's like, I don't need anybody to tell me where to go. I know how to get there. Even if we've never been there before, if we've never even been there, it's like, I can figure it out. I'll find it. If we're putting together a table from IKEA that comes in 714 pieces, I'll leave the instructions in the box. It's fine. Putting together a Christmas present the night before Christmas, I don't need instructions. I'll figure it out, even if it takes me twice as long. I don't understand why we're that way, but for some reason we are, and I think that applies to all of us in some way, shape, or form, in that we like to do things our own way. We like to go about our own path and our own guidance. And this one particular day, as a family, we're going to the beach. If we would have just followed the actual instructions of the GPS, we might have gotten there on time. You do know a few good shortcuts, Dad. And sometimes we think we know the best way. Some things we think we have the best plans and we can guide ourselves. And so we set sail with our own plans, on our own timing. And so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 16. We're going to look and see how Paul and Silas and Timothy were on their journey following their plan. It wasn't a bad plan. It was a good plan. But we'll see as we unpack this together that God had other plans and he guided them to follow in his direction. So if you would, stand with me in the honor of God's word as we read together Acts 16 verses 6 through 10. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how through your word and your Holy Spirit, God, do you shape us and mold us into the image of your son. And God, I pray that today, that as we look at a church that follows you from your word, God, that we would learn how to be sensitive to your leading, that we would recognize these divine appointments when they're placed in front of us, and that we would have the courage to follow you in obedience. We love you, and it's your name that we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. So I want to unpack this for you just a little bit. So at the end of Acts 15, Paul tells Barnabas, hey, let's go back and let's visit the churches where we've been preaching the gospel. Let's go check in on our brothers and sisters, see how they're doing. And so they agree, except for the fact that Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement because Barnabas wants to bring along John Mark. Paul does not want to bring along John Mark. So they have this disagreement, and it escalated to the point that they decided to separate and go different directions. And so Barnabas and John Mark go their way. Paul and Silas, they go another way and start Paul's second missionary journey, traveling and strengthening churches and encouraging them. And we see that they pick up Timothy along the way to join the team. And so when it says that they're strengthening churches, they're giving pastoral leadership, pastoral care, and oversight, and encouraging them and exhorting them to continue in the work of the gospel. They're preaching and continuing to encourage them. This is good work. It's kingdom work. But God had another plan. And we see that God directed them to Macedonia to preach the gospel, and they followed God's divine guidance. And so that brings us to our text today. So we're going to look at three specific ways that we can follow God from Acts 16. So our first point for today is we follow by being available for interruption. We follow by being available for interruption. Now, the definition of interrupt is to stop or hinder by breaking in. And when we think about the word interrupt, it's often in a negative sense. You know, I think about when I get home after a long day and I'm trying to have a conversation with Janae and I'm trying to hear about her day and what's going on. And we have three kids. So we get interrupted. You know, and so we think about it in this negative sense. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but did you know that all children are born with a PhD in interrupting? I do love my kids, but they are pros at interrupting. So we think about interrupting in a negative way. But when God interrupts, it's not because he's wanting a refill of goldfish. He's not wanting to turn the TV on. When God interrupts our plans, it's for a divine purpose. You know, when we look in the rearview mirror of our lives, you can look back and see that God's interruptions were good. We don't always see them as good in the moment, but when we look back and see how many things that God redirected our past and interrupted our plans for a greater purpose. A lot of times, at least for me, I look back in my life and I think, man, I sure am glad that one didn't pan out. Like the great theologian Garth Brooks saying, one of God's greatest gifts is unanswered prayers. But in those moments of divine interruption, in those moments, when things don't go the way we have planned, when a door is closed, just like it was for the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, even when you're trying to do something good, like going to Asia to preach the gospel, the first thing we typically ask is why? And so when we look at our text today in Acts 16, we see this situation when God interrupts our plans and we ask why. That's the question that comes to mind. And so we know Paul didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't preaching heresy. He was living a spirit-filled and kingdom-focused life. So why would God interrupt their journey of strengthening churches and encouraging them to continue in the gospel work? Doesn't seem to make sense. But here's what we know from Scripture. When God interrupts, it's usually followed by one or two things. Number one is when God interrupts, it's usually to give guidance or it's to bring people to salvation. Both of which are for the purpose of propelling the gospel around the world for his name and glory. And so, for example, in Acts chapter 9, Jesus interrupts Saul on the way to Damascus, saves Saul, and then immediately directs him to go to Damascus. In our text today, God interrupted Paul and Timothy and Silas and directed them to go to Macedonia. So what we know from every interruption from God in Scripture is ultimately for the purpose of God's glory and for our good. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God." So here's the deal. If we're going our own direction and we're chasing our own plans, even if they're good plans, even if we're doing kingdom work, not only should we be ready, but we should welcome God's interruptions. We should want him to show us his way, his path, his timing, and his plans. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that prevails. So if our lives are interrupted by God, it's because God is at work. He's going to guide us to another assignment. So Paul, Timothy, and Silas are available for this divine interruption, and we're ready to follow his guidance. And so that takes us to point number two. We follow God by being available for his guidance. We see in verses 8 and 9 that Paul was available for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and willing to follow. And Paul and his team are already serving the Lord, strengthening churches, but the Lord guided them in a different direction to Macedonia. And sometimes we're like Paul. We're doing good work. We're living sent. We're living in obedience. We're serving in the church. We're giving to the church. We're doing all these things that we think we're supposed to be doing, and those are good things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the exact same spot that God wants you to be in for the rest of your life. God may have a different assignment for you in a different place. And listen, sometimes trusting in his guidance is not easy. Sometimes it's guidance that we don't like. It's guidance that we don't want. It's something that we don't want to hear. It's not the timing that we want. It's like Jonah. So God's like, hey, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He's like, I think I'm good. That's a shady place. I'm not going. Well, that didn't work out too well. You know, a lot of times we're okay with God being in the driver's seat as long as we get to type in the destination of the GPS. It's not how it works. J. Vernon McGee said this, this is God's universe. God does things his way. You may have a better way, but you don't have a universe. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6 does not say, trust in yourself with all your heart and lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge yourself and your paths will be straight. It's not what God says. God says, I know the plans I have for you. God says, you need to follow my lead, trust in me with all of your heart, and I will show you the way. God's timing is perfect, but God's timing is never in a hurry. And the tension there is we want God's guidance, don't we? But we want it right now. We don't want it tomorrow or the next day. And sometimes God's guidance is immediate. We see that in the text today, that God gives Paul this vision and then immediately gives him guidance for the next step. And sometimes it does work that way, but sometimes God's guidance is slow, and sometimes it's steady, and sometimes it's gradual. And so sometimes we're trying to be obedient and wait on God's guidance and in his timing, we're not seeing it. And we get discouraged waiting on his guidance. We get impatient, we get distracted, and decide we're gonna go our own way. My path is better, my path is faster. I know my own way. I don't need to wait any longer. And that's a lesson that I learned the hard way. You know, sometimes people think that church staff and pastors have it all figured out. You know, they've got God on speed dial and they've got it all figured out. They have everything lined up perfectly in their life. They're just like professional Christians. Well, let me dispel that right now. That is wrong. And I'm about to show you an example of how. In 2007, I moved to Nashville and finished college. And 2 years later, I graduated at the end of 2009, and I was working part-time as an intern at Brentwood Baptist at the campus there, and I was loving it. And I knew that God had called me to ministry. It's what I wanted to do. God had affirmed and confirmed in my life that this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Problem is, I was about to get married, and I was still an intern. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't afford groceries as an intern. And so I'm sitting here like, I've got 60 days, 50 days, whatever, till I get married. I have to have a full-time job. And so I'm praying. I know, God, I know what your plan is for my life. I know you want me to be in ministry. I want to be in ministry. I want to follow you. I want to trust what you have in store for my life. But I kind of sort of need a job. And I know that it's supposed to be ministry, but I'm not seeing any opportunities open up. And so I wait and wait and wait. And my fiance is like, don't you need a job? And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm trying. So what happened is I'm waiting, 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 and I finally get to the point where I'm like, you know what? I know I'm supposed to wait and trust God's timing. I know I'm supposed to wait and trust in his plan in my life. But at the end of the day, I have bills to pay, so I'm going to do this my own way, which is a really ridiculous attitude to have. So I apply for a job with an insurance company. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this is God's way of shutting this door of ministry, and I'm just going to be a lay leader. I'm going to serve in the church, but it's just going to be in a lay capacity, which is fine. And I can glorify God, and I can serve God selling insurance. That's fine. That wasn't God's plan. So I apply for this job, this insurance company. I take a couple of exams. I get through those. And the next step was an interview. So I drive to downtown Nashville. I walk in, check in with the secretary, let her know who I'm here to meet with. And I sit down and I wait about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. And she finally comes up and says, "Who are you here to meet with again?" And I tell her, and she goes, "Oh, he's not even here today." I'm like, "Well, you didn't know that an hour and a half ago?" Anyway. So she says, "Can you come back in a couple days?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll be back on Friday." So I get in the truck, and I'm driving north on 65, and my phone rings, and it's my boss's boss from Brentwood. Now, I don't know how your life works, but I typically don't get phone calls from my boss's boss, and I was like, how does he know? I didn't tell anybody that I was applying for a job with an insurance company. How does he know? So I answer the phone. He said, "Taylor, do you have time to come and meet with me in my office tomorrow? I want to talk with you about your job here at Brentwood." And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble. So the next day I go and meet with him in his office, and he sits me down and says, "Taylor, you've been here for a long time. We'd love to have you on staff, and this opportunity has opened up. If you'd like to have it, we think you'd be a great fit." This is the day after I tried to take things into my own hands and do things my way instead of God's way. So I sit there, and on one hand, on the inside, I'm so excited. This is what I wanted to do. God has provided. He has answered my prayer. This is exactly what I wanted. There's also a part of me that I was really disappointed in myself, because I knew that God is faithful. I knew that God is always watching. God is always working behind the scenes. But I wasn't satisfied in his plan and his will and his timing or his guidance. I decided to take my plans and force them to mesh with God's plans instead of saying, "God, whatever your plans are, I'm in." Thankfully, God still allows morons to take jobs, or I wouldn't have had that job, because God had every right to say, "You know what? Fine, do things your way." But I look back at the rearview mirror, like I was saying a minute ago, of my life, and I think, how close was I from stepping out of God's plan for my life because I simply wouldn't trust in his guidance? And I look back and think, I haven't deserved a single minute of the ministry that God has allowed me to be a part of. And yet, here I am today, 14, 15 years later, and I'm so thankful that God allows us to be a part of his kingdom work. And we get so distracted by what we think should be happening, and we think that if God doesn't give us the guidance when or where we want it, that we just think, well, I guess God's not paying attention. Well, God is always paying attention. God is always at work, and he's perfectly working out his plans. And I think Isaiah chapter 6 perfectly illustrates what it means to be available to God's guidance. And it is simply this: here I am, send me. It's having an open heart, it's having an open mind, it's having an open calendar, it's having an open bank account, it's having an open family. Whatever you have in your life, it's having an open, say, "God, I'm yours. Show me the way." It looks like this: "God, whatever you want me to do, whenever you want me to go, whoever you want me to do it with, and however you want me to go, just show me the way and I'll go." That's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier to say that than it is to simply pray it. But when he guides us and he directs us, our next step is obedience. And that takes us to our third point this morning, that we follow God by being available for obedient action. And obedience is seen through action. It literally means to follow guidance. In verse 10, Paul has the vision, and they concluded that God had called them to Macedonia to preach the gospel, and off they went. As followers of Jesus, we will be called to either one and or both of these things. At some point, you will either be called to leave where you currently are, or you will be called to leverage where you currently are. All of us are called to leverage where we are. If you are a Christ follower, you're already being called to leverage where you are, wherever God has you. But at some point, God may call you to leave where you currently are. In Acts, Acts 1:8, we see that Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Last month, there were about 50 families from Church of Station Hill who were led by the Holy Spirit to leave their Jerusalem here in Spring Hill and to go and launch the church at West End. They had to leave. So we might have to leave our Jerusalem and go somewhere else in the community, away from what we know, away from what's familiar, away from what's comfortable, in active obedience to what he's calling us to do. We also might be called to leave, to take his name to the nations, to be his witnesses and to the ends of the earth. You know, there are 2.8 billion people in the world who have little to no access to the gospel. A lot of those countries who have such a low rate of Christianity and access to the gospel, God is already at work in those areas. God is already opening doors, preparing the way to deploy his people to take the gospel to those nations before there's anybody there who's even saved. God is always at work. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, they're not exactly handing out visas to pastors and missionaries in those closed countries. But do you know who they will hand a visa to? A school teacher, an English teacher, a doctor, a mechanic, a web designer, web developer. You may think, well, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a professional Christian. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. Who knows what door God is opening up tomorrow, a month from now, 10 years from now, to send you on his behalf and on his and for his name and for his glory. So we never know where we might be called to leave, but God is always preparing the way, always leading. And so when the Spirit leads, we leave, and we leave to follow in obedient action. Let's talk about leveraging a little bit. You know, we say living, we want to live sent. We say this all the time, disciples making disciples, engaging the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody. That's our DNA at Station Hill. That's our DNA as Christ followers. That wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. We say it all the time, but I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Like, have you ever considered why you're the only Christian family in your cul-de-sac? Have you ever considered why are you the only believer in your office? Have you ever considered why you're a Christian teacher in a secular school teaching a generation who's more skeptical about biblical truth than ever before? These accidents, these random happenstances? No. These aren't random happenstances. God has placed you exactly where you are for a divine purpose of advancing the kingdom. In Desiring God, John Piper wrote this: "If there's a God in heaven, there is no such thing as mere coincidence, not even in the smallest affairs of life." Several years ago, I was boarding a plane. It was an international flight. And as I was walking down the aisle, I knew I had an aisle seat. And I was praying the prayer that we all pray on an international flight: "Lord, please give me a seat with the seat beside me that's empty so I can stretch out and I can really enjoy this flight." God did not answer my prayer that day. So I walked down the aisle, and I find my seat, and I throw my stuff in the overhead bin, and I sit down, and realize the guy beside me is a Muslim man. And so I did what any pastor would do. We start talking. He says, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Spring Hill, Tennessee." He said, "Tennessee? Dolly Parton and Jack Daniels." Yeah, that's us. So whether or not that's a good thing, that's how the world knows us. So there we go. But you know, I have to think that knowing that God is always at work, ordaining our paths for a specific divine purpose. I can't look at the fact that a kids pastor from Spring Hill, Tennessee sits on a plane for 8 hours with a man from North Africa who doesn't know Jesus, and who is headed for an eternity completely separated from God. I don't think the Apostle Paul would say, "Well, no need to talk to him. This is just a coincidence." Absolutely not. So I figured if we're going to be touching elbows for the next 8 hours, I might as well tell him. So I did. We talked about all kinds of stuff, but of course I shared the gospel with him. He listened. He heard it. I have no idea what he did with it. I have no idea. He could be leading revivals in North Africa, or he could be just as lost as he was the day that I talked to him. I have no idea. That's not my responsibility. Our responsibility as Christ followers is to see the divine opportunities that God places before us and take obedient action. Now, there have been opportunities that I've had before where I haven't been so bold. I'm like, I don't know what to say to this guy. I'm not so sure that I'm the guy to have this conversation. And you miss these divine opportunities. And so we have to be able to recognize these divine opportunities that God places before us, no matter how big or how small, because God has equipped every single believer for the work of the gospel, whether you feel equipped or not. You know, 4 weeks from tomorrow, this church is going to be crawling with 700 kids, many of whom who don't know Jesus. We have a kingdom opportunity that doesn't even require us to go anywhere. The kingdom opportunity is coming right through our doors. And over 200 of you have already said, hey, I want to be a part of that kingdom work. I want to be a part of this opportunity. And if you haven't signed up to do that, I would encourage you to come and find me or someone on our team. We would love to talk to you about the opportunity to get involved with VBS, because it is an incredible kingdom opportunity to share the gospel with boys and girls. And only God knows how far the gospel reach will happen through VBS this year. But regardless of where you are called to serve, all of us are called to obedient action, whether it's to leave or to leverage where you are. And so today we have two takeaways I want to share with you before we wrap up. Number one is that following God requires unconditional surrender of our will for His. Our will for His will, our plans for His plans, our time for His time, my checkbook for His checkbook. It's all about surrendering completely and totally to the will of God. And you cannot follow God and His guidance when we're holding too tightly to everything else. Number two is this, simple. Find your place. Here in the church, in the community, neighborhoods, and in the nations, find your place. Henry Blackaby famously said this, that if you want to be in God's will, find where God is at work and just join Him there. Just find a place, find your place. Find where God is leading you and go there. You know, and I think I can say this on behalf of our entire staff at Station Hill. You know, we love our lay leadership, we love our volunteers, and we don't want them to go anywhere. But if you come to us and say, hey, we've loved serving in this ministry area, but we are feeling called to this ministry area in the church, that's great, because we want you to be where God wants you to be. The greatest place for God's people to be is where God wants His people. And so if you go to Jason for student ministry, or Juan for groups, or missions for Leanne, and you go to any of them and say, guys, I really enjoy serving in your ministry area, but God is calling me to go serve in kids ministry with Taylor, they're going to understand. They will support it, 100%. But all seriousness, if every single one of my leaders in kids ministry came to me tomorrow and said, God's calling us to go somewhere else, God's calling us to go be a part of West End, God's calling us to go to Africa, if God's calling us to literally just leave and go down the stairs and serve in preschool ministry, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to miss you, but go. We want you to be where God wants you to be. Because sometimes where you think you're needed is not where God says to go. There's always a need in the church. There's always a role to fill. There's always someone that needs to be plugged in and recruited. But guess what? We want you to be where God wants you to be. So find your place. And so as we begin to wrap up today, the question I want to ask you is this. Where, who, and what is God calling you to? Is He calling you to leave? Or is He just calling you to leverage where you already are? And so as we approach our time of prayer, I'd like to encourage you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray and lead us through this time, and our worship team's going to come up. But I just want to encourage you, just like last week, Jay asked you to just open out your hands and just ask yourself this. God, what are you doing around me? that I'm not seeing? What can I join you in? What is the work that you are doing that I need to join you in? Where is my place? Where can I join you in your work? And some of you may not even be there yet. Some of you may not be serving anywhere yet. Maybe you need to ask yourself this question, why? What in your life is keeping you from being obedient to being a part of the work that God's doing all around us? So where's your place? Where can I join in the work that God's doing around us? Jesus, you're good and you are great, and so are your plans, so are your ways, so is your timing. God, we are often prone to wonder. We're prone to go our own way. We're prone to go on our own path and our own direction and our own timing. But God, I just pray for our church today, for every man and woman in here today, God, that you would help us to be so brave, to pray that you would interrupt us. That in our interruption, that you would guide us to what you would have us to do. And that from that guidance, that you would give us the strength and the power through your Holy Spirit to be obedient in our action. God, we don't deserve to be involved in your kingdom work, but God, you, in your grace and your mercy, you allow us to join you in your work to reach and to save the lost. And so God, I pray for us this morning that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in whatever capacity you would have us to be obedient. God, that we would just follow you and trust you wholly. We love you. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.